Welcome to a new year and to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. We welcome everyone, whoever you are, wherever you come from, and whomever you love. We extend a special welcome to those who are with us for the first time today. We are always glad to have guests at our service. Membership in this church is open to all who agree to walk with us in the free quest of high values in religion and life. If you would like to learn more about Unitarian Universalism in general, or this church in particular, one opportunity will be between services to join us downstairs in Fessenden Hall for a time of coffee and conversation. If you prefer a quieter venue, representatives of the membership committee will be in the entryway over there where tea is available. Our church library adjoins that room. Another way to get more information about the life and work of this community is to complete the guest card, which is in the rack on the pews. If you place your completed card in the offering basket or hand it to someone from our membership committee who will be at the visitors' table in the entryway after the service, you will be put on the mailing list, but you won't be obligated. The Unitarian Universalist Church is a member of the Unitarian Universalist Association. As a non-creedal church, we affirm that the integrity of love is more important than purity of dogma. Our unity is based on mutual concern, not theological agreement. As a congregation, we protect the life of the spirit and the freedom of the mind. Coming out of the Protestant Reformation, we affirm the notion of the priesthood of all believers, asserting that the final authority for religious faith should rest in the conscience and the experience of the individual. Thus, lay-led services, such as the service this morning, are a time-honored Unitarian Universalist tradition. This morning, I am serving as the worship associate. My name is Susan Geckler. I'm joined in welcoming you today by Mac Geckler, who many of you know as a member of this congregation, but is here today as a member of the peacemaking core team of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Ours is a church that strives to practice the art of hospitality. In that spirit, I invite you now to take a moment to greet those near you. In addition to asking you to turn off your cell phones, I invite you to take a look at the thread from the web, the insert in your order of service. There you will find several important announcements as well as a calendar of events for the week upcoming in the church. I would like to mention that you may hear occasional chirping, and that's the smoke detector telling us that it's time for a new battery, so apologize, but we'll try to get it fixed by next week. Next week, we will again gather for worship at 9:30 and 11:15. Melissa Carvel-Zemer, our minister, will be back in the pulpit, and the topic will be Welcoming What Is. At the end of today's service, Mac and I will be glad to greet you in the rear of the sanctuary. We are glad to have you with us this morning. We hope you find something in the service today that nourishes your spirit and helps you find and keep your balance. Once again, I bid you welcome.
I would like all the young people to come up here. I have a little story for you. Well, you're it. I'll come to you. Is this it? But you, the rest of you can listen too. This is an ancient Chinese story. It has many variations. This particular one is called The Farmer and the Angel. There was once this old farmer, 90 years old, very kind man, still tilling the fields, a very wonderful person. And one day, an angel came to him. And the angel said, "Old farmer, you've been so kind, I'm going to grant you one wish." "What kind of wish would you wish for?" "You don't know?" Anybody else? Peace. Well, the old farmer said, I have one wish. I'd like to see, before I'm gone, heaven and hell. And the angel says, well, all right, just grab a hold of my cloak here, and presto chango, they were in this big green field, and up on the hills were tall, beautiful pines, and they were walking down this field into this meadow, and they saw this big table, big long table, and it was covered with food, delicious food, and there were people sitting at this table, and they were starving. They were starving. Their arms were all locked like this, and they had big long chopsticks, but they couldn't feed themselves. And they were starving. And the farmer says, this is truly hell indeed, isn't it? And the angel says, well, just grab my cloak and we'll go to heaven. So, presto chango, they were there in heaven. Beautiful green field. Tall pines on the hills. And down the meadow was this big long table. And it was full of delicious food. But the people were happy and they were laughing. And well fed. What do you think was different? Well, they were feeding each other. They were feeding each other. Think what the world would be like if all we did was feed each other. Would that be a peaceful world? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all. Wishes for joy and happiness in a world of peace. May the spirit of the season bring peace to last throughout the year. May there be peace in your world this holiday season. Wishing you health and happiness in this season of love, peace, and joy. Wishing you peace and contentment in this beautiful season. Wishing you a beautiful holiday season and a new year of peace and happiness. Wishing you peace and joy this holiday season and throughout the year. These holiday card messages all mention the word peace. So what is this peace? And how can we make the sentiments and wishes come true? Sometimes when people hear the word peace, the image is no war. But the sentiments in this card are more positive and active than anti-war. As with any wish, it takes work to make it happen. So too with peace. Thus the term peacemaking. For the past 2.5 years, the Unitarian Universalist denomination has encouraged congregations to engage and a period of study and action around the concept of peacemaking. Because of my passion for this issue and my willingness to become involved, I have become part of a core team of the denominational level that has guided this work and provided resources to congregations. In weekly conference calls, daily emails, this core team has wrestled with what peacemaking means and how to engage in this work. Undoubtedly, some who voted to select this issue for study and action did so in response to the armed conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. Others realize that peacemaking involves a lot more than being anti-war. According to A.J. Must, we cannot have peace if we are only concerned with peace. War is not an accident. It is the logical outcome of a certain way of life. If we want to attack war, we have to attack that way of life. The core team was wrestled with pacifism as a stance, and then with how to respond to genocides such as events in Darfur. When we look at the relationship between peace and justice, where does peace start? Part of the study was considering statements such as, "True peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice," Martin Luther King Jr. "Peace is more important than all justice, and peace was not made for the sake of justice, but justice for the sake of peace," Martin Luther, the German priest. "We have come to the conclusion that peacemaking requires building a culture of peace and nonviolence on all levels of interaction. We understand that for some, it will mean a change in consciousness, lifestyles, and policies as we move towards peace, justice, and sustainability, which are integral to building a culture of peace. It will mean giving up habits of thought and actions that cause harm to others, such as racism, classism, assumption of privilege, consumption of products and services that are involved in environmental degradation, and economic disparities. It will mean embracing ways of thinking and acting that build trust. We must engage in creative collaboration with the goal of building the culture of peace, a just and sustainable global culture." The more we studied, the more we came to believe that as Unitarian Universalists, we are called to build a culture of peace, not because the denomination's General Assembly voted and directed us to do so, but peacemaking is core to our faith, and because our congregations are already demonstrating a commitment to peacemaking through their actions. Congregations have embraced beautiful covenants, mediation practices that focus on peace and loving kindness, wonderful goals of being in right relationships, planning of peace poles, anti-war protests, and a myriad of other great efforts. A culture of peace provides Unitarian Universalist grounding for our peacemaking. We do not achieve a culture of peace by agreeing to some peacemaking statement, but instead by our mutual and sustained effort at becoming peacemakers. This path is simple and difficult. This culture building is best thought of as a covenant with all creation and ourselves. We will have to take a thorough moral and spiritual peacemaking inventory of ourselves as individuals, a congregation, and our association itself. Though this may be a daunting task, we will be better for each step we take. To again quote His Holiness the Dalai Lama, "Responsibility does not only lie with the leaders of our countries or with those who have been appointed or elected to a particular job. It lies with us individually. Peace, for example, starts with each one of us. When we have inner peace, we can be at peace with those around us." Peacemaking means working not only on ourselves, but on our personal relationships. Gandhi said, "I first learned the concept of nonviolence in my marriage." And Dorothy Thompson said, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of creative alternatives for responding to conflict, alternatives to passive or aggressive responses, alternatives to violence. A culture of peace thus extends to our relationships in our community. One place to begin community work is within our congregations. This congregation adopted a covenant last year that we read this morning. That covenant includes a commitment to live in right relationship with one another. Right relationship does not mean we always agree, but it does mean that we can agree to disagree respectfully, and that we take responsibility for helping members of our church community find creative alternatives for responding to differences before they become conflicts. This congregation has engaged with this issue in many other ways, through Sunday worship social action projects, children project on conflict management, Hogwarts children program on peace, creating a peace garden, planting a peace pole, also witnessing Kent and Washington D.C. against the current war and genocide, engaging in adult discussion, and considering this issue as part of small group ministry. Violence on the personal level or war on the international level is a failure of peacemaking. If we are to avoid violence, we must address the causes. According to Marion Wright Edelman, we are not going to deal with the violence in our communities, our homes, our nation, until we learn to deal with the basic ethic of how we resolve our disputes and to place an emphasis on peace in the way we relate to one another. The Dalai Lama again. There can be no peace so long as there is grinding poverty, social injustice, inequality, oppression, environmental degradation, as long as the weak and small continue to be trodden by the mighty and powerful. Peacemaking does not mean acquiescence to avoid conflict. As Wendell Berry said, we can no longer afford to confuse peaceability with passivity. Authentic peace is no more passive than war. Like war, it calls for discipline and intelligence and strength of character. Though it calls also for our higher principles and aims, if we are serious about peace, then we must work for it ardently, seriously, continuously, carefully, and bravely as we now prepare for war. As an example of the work involved, listen to Mushy Dayan. If you want peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies. So what can and should we do to become peacemakers? Again, the Dalai Lama. We can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace with ourselves. We can work at the individual level. Many of us still struggle with inner peace while continuing our peacemaking efforts. We can study and be inspired by the prophetic words and actions of Gandhi, King, and others. We can try out these insights with our personal relationships and in our work environment. Within this church, we can share our stories and struggles and know when to ask for help. Our mutual support is vital to helping us better understanding our peacemaking quest. Hearing the successes and learning experience of others affirms our own efforts and buoys us up. Our sharing helps us better define our own nature. Soul searching and careful reflection gives us the skill sets to change the hearts and minds of those who also need to be on this path. Some of us will engage in peacemaking in other venues based on the opportunities we have. Many peacemaking venues exist up the international level. Peacemaking techniques and strategies vary. Any idea in one arena could well work in another. And this is why sharing is so important. Experiences from other social justice work can inform the work. At the denomination level, we can study and provide feedback into a proposed statement of conscience that will guide the UA's official positions and actions. Delegates to the Annual General Assembly of the UA Association of Congregations will vote on a statement this June. The draft is out now for review, and congregations have until February 1st to submit feedback. The January newsletter included a link to the first draft proposed statement of conscience on peacemaking. Some of you think this needs a lot of work. Others think it's just fine as it reads now. There is too much war stuff, some say. There's not enough, some others say. How do we get our EU arms around such a beast, even a peaceful beast? For the next 3 weeks, the Adult Religious Exploration Forum that meets during first service in Pheasant Hall will examine the draft statement and decide on responses from this congregation. If you're unable to attend, please see me directly. We want all voices heard. Someone recently asked me, what did I want in this statement? My answer is very simple. I want the words and ideas and thoughts of this congregation, not mine. But adoption of the statement is not the culmination of the work at the denominational level, merely the beginning and foundation. The core team has already created an internet presence and a listserv. The website includes a link to recommended resources and examples of ways congregations have become engaged in action. Early this year, a couple members of us, of this peacemaking core team, started to think about what a peacemaking study action U universe would look like. And after much discussion, something we use are really good at, it was decided to create a formal group that will continue to provide guidance for the work of our congregation. By developing and making resources available, providing forums for exploring issues and sharing successes and suggested action, this Peace Ministry Network, used building a culture of peace, imagines itself to offer a service, providing education, linkage, and support for all those who want to advocate. Similar to existing groups such as Ministry for Earth, which looks after our fragile planet, various anti-racism, anti-oppression groups, and of course the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the folks who put our faith into action. This Peace Ministry Network would become a helping hub supporting peacemaking work at the denominational, district, and congregational levels through many spokes. Now, why in the world would I want to get involved in peacemaking? When I was maybe 9 years old, my mother, who had gone back to school to become a school teacher, sat me down one day and says, I've figured it out. She just came back from a class. Says, you're the middle child. And I go, yeah? Well, you suffer from middle child syndrome. I hadn't any idea what a syndrome was, let alone what was different between me and my older brother and younger sister. And she told me that middle child has an important role in the family. And I go, okay. I'm getting kind of scared now. Like, this sounded like work to me. She says, no, this is about something else. It says, one thing you do is you always try to get attention. I go, I do? Yes, you do. Because you're the middle child and you think you don't get enough attention. I go, oh, okay. But also, it says, you do something very good. You're the family peacemaker. You're the one who always makes peace between your brother and your sister. And I go, well, believe it or not, even today, my brother and sister who live in the same town don't talk to each other, but they talk to me. My folks were getting older in age, and they needed an executor for their estate. It wasn't the oldest brother or the youngest daughter. It was me. And this has been my job ever since, to be the family peacemaker. And I've always been drawn to peacemaking because I like peace. I don't like much in the way of violence. I can only remember one time in my life when somebody actually wanted to have a fight with me, but he backed off, so I didn't have to even do that. So I like peace, and I like peacemaking. And I think We are peacemakers. We just haven't figured out how to organize it. But we're working on that. As we enter into a new year and consider how we want to be and what we want to do, let's add being peacemakers to our New Year's resolutions to make the holiday wish come true. Will take a concerted effort from each one of us. It is not work we can delegate to others. Let us make the words of Dwight David Eisenhower come true. I like to believe that people in the long run are going to do more to promote peace than our governments. Indeed, I think the people want peace so much that one of these days, governments had better get out of the way and let them have it.
When we feel love and kindness toward others, it not only makes others feel loved and cared for, but it helps us also to develop inner peace and happiness. Go now in peace.